Title of the sermon today is Trick or Treat. Halloween is approaching. 3 more days. Wednesday is Halloween. Do you believe in ghosts and goblins and witches and boogeyman? I used to watch all kinds of scary movies. Now, not going to happen. Last scary movie I saw increased my electric bill by $100 because I kept all the lights on in the house. When we lived in Missouri, we had this two-story house, and you walk in, you know, living room, kitchen downstairs, and you walk up these stairs, a lot of stairs, and they always squeak, wooden stairs. And then all our bedrooms were atop. So I saw this movie, it was called The Conjuring. And this man, he had two daughters, and he was coming home, and they were, like, possessed. And it was weird. So I watched this movie, and then I started coming home, and my lovely children decided to wake up and say hi to Daddy. So I walk up to the stairs, and they were standing on top of the stairs looking at me. And my youngest, you know, she had her cochlears off, so she couldn't hear anything. And I'm like, Grace. And she just looked at me. Grace. I slept downstairs that night. I wasn't mad at my wife. I just was not going upstairs. I saw that movie, and I thought, nope, not happening. Not doing it. Mm-mm. So I am not a scary movie guy. And old David Mullen tried to get me to watch It with him. It. You know that little crazy clown thing? But you know, when I used to play ball, though, football, I was very superstitious. When I had a good game, I would wear the same wristbands, the same way, the same towel off my side. I mean, I thought these things I did allowed me to play well because I was so superstitious in my mind. But according to the National Retail Federation, it estimates consumers will spend a record $9.1 billion this year on candy and decorations for Halloween. That's up 8% from last year, where we spent $8.4 billion on Halloween. That breaks down to about $86 per household that was spent in our country alone. Halloween is now the second biggest decorating holiday of the year next to Christmas. I want to talk, before I get to my lesson, about a few Halloween facts and myths that's occurred. You realize the first jack-o'-lanterns were actually made from turnips? That's where the first jack-o'-lanterns came from. The word witch comes from an old English wick, meaning wise woman. In fact, Wiccans were highly respected at one point in time. But children, as they would dress up in their costumes and they go from house to house, the reason they say trick or treat is because they ask for, as they say, trick or treat. If you gave them a treat, candy, then they would not play a trick on you or cause mischief in your house. So it's kind of like, give me something or I'm going to hurt you. Now, what are the top 3 candy choices for Halloween? Anybody got any idea? Okay, just want you to know, I didn't understand anything everybody said at one time. Give me one, Frank. What? Candy corn? Not the top 3, but it's good. Reese's Peanut Butter Cup is in the top 3, yes. Sour Patch Kids did not make the cut. Yes. Snickers did not make the cut. Yes. Kit Kat didn't make the cut. Let me just tell you, because we're going to go through. Y'all eat a lot of candy, obviously. The top 3 was Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, Skittles, and M&M's. That's a lot of candy. On Halloween, it's believed that ghosts come back to the earthly world. And people thought they would encounter ghosts if they go out after dark. So what they would do is they would wear masks. That way, if they're out walking around and ghosts were out there, they would not recognize who they were because they had the mask on. That's where all the masks come from in our decor on Halloween. because people thought that they would reflect a different image than what they really were. Now, interesting thing about black cats, please ignore the men behind me. Why do people not like black cats? One belief is that back in the Middle Ages, it was taught that a black cat was the companion or mascot of a group of witches. And that cat changed into a witch or Satan after 7 years of service. Therefore, they reasoned if a cat crossed their path, it might be a witch or the devil in disguise. So that's why people didn't like it when a black cat crossed their path, they would take 10 steps back in order to do away with the evil spirit that was there. Therefore, people reasoned a cat crossing their path was the devil. It is true that the devil is up to no good, but he's not disguised as a black cat. He's way more clever than that. Look in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. For such men are false prophets, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. Satan may well appear as a person of light, meaning someone who is in the fellowship, someone who is loving, but yet Satan is always in disguise. Even in the flock, he's in disguise. You guys remember the prophet Jim Jones and the guy in the tragedy in 90 and 78? Or David Koresh and the Branch Davidians in 93? You know, both of those men and many more could have given off a good impression at one time, but yet have been in the league with Satan. Who's to say? There's an interesting story about Pepsi Cola. It was said that a number of misconceptions can come when trying to translate a concept from one language to another. Pepsi Cola Company found this out when they mounted an ad campaign in Taiwan. The slogan was supposed to read, "Come alive with the Pepsi generation." Unfortunately, translated into Chinese, it read, "Pepsi will bring your ancestors back from the dead." They had to stop that advertisement because they could not live up to that advertisement. Look over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Says, "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him." Let's consider some of the truths about God's word. There's a lot of myths about Halloween, but I want to talk about the truths of the Bible when it comes to God's word. Point number one is this: there are no ghosts, but there is a Holy Spirit. There are no ghosts, but there is a Holy Spirit. You know, a ghost is supposedly a spirit of a dead person, especially one believed to appear to living people. Many people tend to believe ghosts because of all the movies we've seen over the years. They had the Amityville Horror, Poltergeist. You guys remember that one? They had a piece of meat walking across the table. I didn't eat steak for like 2 days after that. We had Ghosts with Patrick Swayze. Then you had Casper the Friendly Ghost. I mean, you got all these different kind of movies. Now they came out with The Nun, a remake. See, that's just not right. But it's amazing how believable some of these movies are. And yet, what's more amazing is how gullible we are to believe them. Seriously, to have your electric bill go up after watching a movie, you're a gullible person. But why are we so gullible? You know, one reason, when modern man loses faith, he's open to believe in anything. When you stop believing in God, you will believe in anything. So why are we so gullible? One reason is we don't want to face the truth. Many people can't handle the truth, so they don't want to face the truth. So we're willing to sacrifice the truth whenever it makes us feel uncomfortable. If we hold to the truth, but yet we start to feel uncomfortable or insecure, then we start to sacrifice the truth at times. Plato taught this. We can easily forgive a child who is afraid of the dark. The real tragedy of life is when men are afraid of the light. When a child's afraid of the dark, we talk to them, we help them understand, there's nothing to be afraid of. But yet when a man is afraid of walking in the light, that's when the real tragedy occurs. Look at Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. Even though we believe there's no ghost, we do believe in what the old King James says, the Holy Ghost. But except that Holy Ghost of God isn't one that spooks people unless you're not trying to live the right life. Matthew 28, verse 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, again, we don't even talk enough about the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is in each and every child of God. And it's not there to spook you, but it's there to help you. It's there to bring about confidence. It's there to bring about strength. It's there to bring about conviction on things. And if you have the Holy Spirit living in you, God is trying to talk to you. Day after day, you know in your mind, when you're walking down the street, you're catching a train or the bus or you're driving, and God is prompting you to do something, or you know you shouldn't be doing something, and God is sending you a reminder. That's the Holy Spirit trying to work in your life. Whether you're doing something, all of a sudden a church song pops in your head, or you see another Christian walking by and you ain't never seen in that area all life, but now all of a sudden they just pop up. God is trying to prompt you, motivate you, move you through the Holy Spirit. Look in Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." She's back. The two people we saw today, they walked up here one way and they left another way. And they left because now they have the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. And let me tell you this. A lot of us go through things and we have challenges. You got problems, again, like George talked about, with your health, problems at work, problems with your kids, problems in your marriage. There's going to be problems. You are going to have challenges. But understand, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you have the Holy Spirit working in your life. You have a part of the person that created everything. Everything. You got a part of the same person that walked on water, that raised Lazarus from the dead. A part of that is in you. Jesus even said, "You will do greater things than I have done." You say, "Well, how can that be?" Because you have a part of him in you. He is saying, "Listen to me. There's nothing to be scared of. There's no real ghosters out there, but there's the Holy Spirit living in each and every one of his children." Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Brothers and sisters, quit living in the past. Quit talking about this how my family is. That's how your family is, but you are a new creation. That doesn't mean that's how you are. You know what a new creation means? You know what the Holy Spirit means when he's living in you? That means the chains are now broken. The chains of sin, the chains that cause abuse in relationships, the chains that cause addiction to smoking, pornography, alcohol, those chains are now broken. Jesus uses the Holy Spirit to set you free. To set you free. You got to understand, some people are still living in chains because they're not using the key, the Holy Spirit, to unlock those shackles and set them off. You have the power within you to be set free. The question is, are you going to unlock the locks that are on you? Are you going to do it? Too many times we wait for somebody else to do it. Wait for the preacher to do it. Wait for my Bible talk to do it. Wait for my husband to do it for me. Wait for my wife to do it for me. Wait till I get rid of these kids. Then I'll do it. I'll be set free when they leave. It's not about all that. You already have the power to be free in your life now. Guys, you got to hear what I'm saying. Because if you hear what I'm saying, our ministry will more than double. Because if each and every person is set free, there's nothing holding you back. You know what that means? That means your fellowship is going to go to another level. That means you're not going to be angry and bitter with anybody in this room. See, if you're sitting here now with any kind of attitude with anybody, Satan has locked you up. And you are not using the Spirit to be set free. And you got to really ask yourself, because there was like 3/4 of us clapping on that. So that means 1/4 of us got some issues with somebody in this room. And until you face it and deal with it, the problem is, just like I said, some people, you can't handle the truth. But I'm going to tell you the truth, whether you like it or not. You can get mad, you can tweet, Facebook me, text me, whatever, later on. But right now, you got to understand, there's a spirit working in you, trying to get you to do the right thing. Some of you guys are visiting with us here. Some are visiting with, you know you need to study the Bible. You know you need to make that decision. You know it in your heart and in your mind. Only thing holding you back is yourself. Because you have the same opportunity they had to come up here and to make Jesus Lord. Only thing holding you back is you. You say, well, you're going to run me away from here, preacher. I may not come back next Sunday. The truth shall set you free. See, I'm not trying to run you away. I'm trying to run you in. Because you got to understand, you're looking for a church that's just going to say everything and coddle you. And that's what some people do. Even after they get in, they want to be coddled a little bit. We went through a whole bunch back in the day. Now I just want you to love me. Just say good things to me. I can't. I can only say the truth. If the truth is loving, I'm going to love you. If the truth is pop, 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 I'm going to pop, pop, pop. But you have to let the Holy Spirit work in you, guys. And here's the thing. If you have the Holy Spirit, some of us are quenching the Holy Spirit. Because you know you need to be different. You know you want to be different. But yet, you got to find the courage to just do it. You got to find that courage to say, you know what? I am tired of being like this. I am tired of being in the same situation. I'm tired of complaining about my Bible talk. Why don't I do something about it? If I'm so unhappy about it, why don't I do something about it? Some people complaining about your evangelist. Yeah, he's good looking, but I'm tired of hearing what he's got to say. You know what? Then pray for that man. If you're so tired of hearing about it, pray for him. Don't get critical. Don't tweet. Don't gossip. Pray for the person. But see, we revert back to default mode. We revert back. Default mode is criticalness. Worldly. Talk about people. See, that's what we fall back to when we don't become the righteous men and women that God wants us to be. I promise you, if you pray for people instead of talk about them behind their back, things will change. Second point is this. Number two, there are no goblins, but there is an evil spirit. There's no goblins, but there's an evil spirit. A goblin is a grotesque, elf-like creature of folklore that does mischief and evil. Probably the most famous is the Hobgoblin from Spider-Man, the Green Goblin. But those goblins are like gremlins. You guys remember that movie Gremlins? Where you're not supposed to feed them after 12 o'clock or they turn evil? And don't put them in water because then they like multiply like baby kids. They just keep pop, 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 pop. Goblins are spoken throughout literature, found in movies, but nowhere are they found on the planet Earth. How people come up with these evil creatures, I have no idea. Sometimes I wonder, the people that create these scary movies, they have some real issues in their upbringing. How do you think of such things? Who thought of a clown that's evil and eats people? Somebody who never had a birthday party in their life. And now they're taking revenge on everybody in the world. There's literally no goblins, but there is an evil spirit in the world. Look in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Some of y'all thinking, go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Somebody needs to check on their child. I can hear them screaming up there. Y'all hear that? That's right. Your number will flash in a moment. Finally, be strong in the Lord, verse 10, and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, not against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Sometimes we got to read that over and over. Because sometimes we think our enemy is somebody in this room. We can find somebody and we can make them the enemy. When the real enemy is Satan. And again, he's masquerading. And he will try to make you become enemies with somebody that Jesus died for. You got to understand, this is what Satan does. Look in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be self-controlled and alert. Now, self-control, first of all, that means don't just start blowing off the handle. Don't just get so angry, you just lose control and start yelling and screaming. Be self-controlled. How about let's talk about things first? Be alert. Alert to what? Alert to the fact that it's Satan that's the enemy. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. Satan is out there, roaming around looking. You know, when a lion attacks zebra, what they do is they try to split up the pack. Because lions, being colorblind, when zebras are all together, all they see is one big black and white zebra. One huge zebra. And they can't mess with that big old thing. So they're running there in charge, and then once they run away and scatter, then they pick out which one's all alone. Sometimes, guys, we start to fight. We start to get critical against church members, and we find ourselves isolated. And that is exactly what Satan wants to do. Satan doesn't want to take down our church. Satan just wants to get in here and scatter us abroad. And then he starts picking them off one at a time. One at a time. Are you feeling lonely? Satan's coming after you. You feeling discouraged? That's because Satan's coming after you. You feeling like your back hurt so you don't want to go to church or midweek or Devo? Satan's coming after you. You got to understand, it's Satan coming after you. So what do you need to do? Pick up the phone. Call somebody. Have somebody come over. Do some fellowship. That is what will set you free. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. See, Kamani, I'm not on a timer right now. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. It says the God of this age. Who is that? That's Satan. That's Satan. He has blinded the minds of unbelievers. So we look at this and we think, woo, I'm safe because I believe there's a God. But let me tell you, even the demons believe there's a God. It's not about I believe there's a God, but it's about am I living the Bible out? If I'm not living it out, then am I really a believer? See, we got to understand Satan can blind us and make us think things that aren't even true. We come to church and all of a sudden we do communion first before we do anything else. What is wrong with the church? It is falling apart. This is no longer the kingdom of God. They did communion first before the three songs, welcome, contribute. Oh, Lord, why did we do that? So if they did that, this must not be the kingdom of God. I'm in the wrong place. That's why my Bible talks like that. That's why I don't like the songs we sing no more. We can take one little thing that's out of our routine, and all of a sudden it blows up into this huge ordeal. We got to get serious. We got to grow up a little bit on this stuff here, guys. That's Satan trying to blind us to what's there. We don't need to be traditional. We don't have to do everything the same way all the time. We need a little change in our lives. We sing a song and you throw a little rap in there, deal with it. Just rap along with him. You don't know what he's saying, just move your lips. We get a different beat to a song, don't freak out, just groove with it a little bit. Just do what you're going to do. We get so worked up over things. Guys, it's not that big a deal. It's not a salvation. A song is not a salvation issue. One writer puts it this way. For many, Satan or the devil is just an evil influence, or they think the idea of the devil is merely a synonym for evil, but deny that he is a real personal being at work in the world, and he is described in the Bible. For others, the devil is merely a demon or a gruesome being with horns, a tail, and of course a pitchfork, which he uses to pitch people in his jail called hell. But Satan isn't the keeper of hell, biblically speaking. Such ideas are nonsense and the product of man's imagination, tradition, and Satan's own deception. Look at what it says in Job chapter 1. Sometimes we think of the devil, we think of that little red person with horns and a pitchfork, and that's the devil. But let me tell you, the devil is real. In Job chapter 1, verse 6. You may not be there, you can look on the screen. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the works of his hands so that his flock and herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, everything he has is in your hands, but on the man himself do not lay a finger." Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Satan talked to God. He said, "I've been in the earth going back and forth, back and forth." Satan even tempted Jesus in the desert. Now, if he does all that, what makes us think he's not going to mess with us? You know, Satan has a lot of names in the scripture. He's called Satan. He's called the devil. He's called the serpent. He's called Lucifer, son of the morning. He's called the evil one, the dragon, the prince or ruler of this world, the god of this age, the god of this world, the prince of power of the air, the accuser of the brethren, the tempter, Belial, Beelzebub. I mean, there's a lot of names for Satan. Not every person is that well-named in life. But you have to wonder, why is Satan so well-named? Because the Lord wants us to be sure we know who he is. That's why his name is Aaron. He's the tempter. That means he's tempting you, not just to sin, but to have issues with your brothers and sisters. That's who he is. He's the tempter. He's a liar. What does that mean? That means he's going to lie to you to try to get you to believe stuff. You realize Satan, we feel like he's everywhere, but he doesn't have that power that God has to be everywhere. We may just feel like that, but I tell you what, Satan does live in the backseat of your car. Because where do you get into most fights with your spouse or somebody? In the car. Satan lives on that train. You can just look around sometimes and see. Satan's at your workplace. He can live at your school. Satan lives in your cell phone. Why? Because sometimes something will just pop up. Where did that come from? Satan. He lives in your computer. You got to understand. Yeah, oh no. You got to shut those things down because that's where Satan lives. Why? Because he's tempting you. He's lying to you. He's deceiving you. Look in James chapter 2, verse 19. All these scriptures. You go to a Bible church, you look in the Bible. James chapter 2, verse 19. We'll start in verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe it and shudder. Should a person be afraid of Satan? It all depends on who you are and how you're living. If a person is not in Christ, you should be terrified of Satan. If a person is in Christ, then again, you got to remember, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have the Holy Spirit. You do not need to fear Satan. Will he come after you? Absolutely. Why? Because God created you in his image. You are God's child. Satan knows he cannot defeat God. So what's the best way to get after God is to hurt his children. Think about it. Somebody can mess with you and you can deal with it, but they mess with your kids? Oh, that's a whole nother story right there. All y'all turn into mama bears. I've seen some of the... Okay, I got to watch what I say. I got to be wise. But there's a certain type of... Yeah. If you are not living in Christ Jesus, you should be terrified of the devil. If you are in Christ, you have protection, you have security, but you still got to live that life because the moment you get off track, Satan is going to be there waiting for you. That's what the Bible says. He's crouching at your door. Third and final point is this. There is no boogeyman, but there is a saving man. The boogeyman is an imaginary monster used to frighten us. And I have no idea why our parents used to say the boogeyman. I don't know if y'all parents did, but my mom used to say, boogeyman in your closet. You better stay in your bed. Okay. There was a movie called Boogeyman. It came out in 2005. It was a flop. Basically, it was 86 minutes, this is one man saying, of staring contest in the mirror. It was worse than watching paint dry. Brothers and sisters, there are some mean people in the world, but there is no true boogeyman out there. You know, I watched the Super Friends. Growing up, I watched the Super Friends. But my favorite Super Friend was Green Lantern. People always say Superman. I like Green Lantern because he had that magical ring, and his ring could do everything Superman can do, but he just had to charge his ring up. And so he was my hero for the longest time. But then one day I was out playing basketball, and this guy jumped me, basically, and was beating up on me. And then my brother saw it, and he came running down the street, and that guy took off running. So my brother became my hero all of a sudden. And so I looked up to my brother, and I thought, man, that's who I want to be. That's who I want to be. But as anybody, men start to have flaws in their lives. So then I became a Christian. I thought, you know what? That's my real hero, Jesus Christ. as somebody I can look to that would never let me down. And we think about this. We think, you know what? All the shootings, all the bombings, all the earthquakes, all this stuff is going on in the world. What is going on? Why are these things happening to us? Why do things happen to good people? Why? You know what? Just as it talked about in John chapter 9 with the blind man, sometimes things happen to later bring glory to God. I have no idea how. I don't even know why. But as long as we're living in Christ, we can glorify God. Let me close with this. We do not need to be afraid. Jesus is our saving man. We don't need to worry about ghosts, goblins, gremlins. We don't need to worry about any of that. We need to focus on Jesus being our savior. If he can heal the blind, heal the deaf, raise the dead, surely he can help us in our day.